Welcome back into the La Crosse Tribune UBL Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew. I am your host and the Tribune's beat reporter for UW La Crosse and all college sports here in the Cooley region. We are coming to you live on a Sunday after a tough loss for UW La Crosse, 30-7 to number 10 UW Whitewater. Recording this on early Sunday morning, about 9 o'clock, so we do not know what the new rankings are from around the nation, but I would expect La Crosse, who came into the game at number 23, to probably be out of those rankings for this week. But a really tough loss. Just you look at Whitewater and the way that they performed, especially defensively. That defense was as good as advertised. They are just an outstandingly talented group, and the way that they play, they keep everything in front of them, and then they tackle so extremely well, it's really tough to get anything going against them. So we'll get into all that, but just a really dominant performance by that defense and a struggle for UWL and its offense, especially in the second half, to get any momentum built up there. But looking at the show we'll do today, some key moments from Saturday's game. A couple really stand out as a couple of those game type of flipping plays that Whitewater made and La Crosse didn't, to be frank. And then looking at the offensive struggles in the second half, they ended up being less than, I think it was 48 yards in the second half for UWL's offense. That's my column that's going to be up on lacrossetribune.com later this evening, and then in Monday's paper, just about the offensive struggles in the second half, not only this week, but last week as well against Dickinson State. And then we'll talk about the defense too. They were, to be honest, up to the task for three quarters against Whitewater, which is a tough thing to do, especially with how talented they are and how good their offensive line is. The UWL's defense did a really good job for about three quarters, and then it just kind of became an issue of fatigue, and they were out there just much more than the UWL's offense. So it was tough to keep up that level of performance when you're out there every play. So, and then we'll get into the loss of Peter Kissling, senior captain and safety for UWL, who was hurt late in the first quarter. It was a big pileup on a short run by Whitewater. He stayed down on the ground. I saw him after the game, wasn't able to talk to him because he was getting treated and everything like that. But shoulder and arm wrapped up, looked like either an elbow or a shoulder injury. It was pretty serious. Mike Schmidt, the head coach, said that he's likely done for the season. So we'll get into that and kind of what that means for the defense going forward. But let's start with some of the key moments from Saturday's game. You look at a 30-7 final score, and it's like, okay, that was a kind of a blowout. that 30 team that scored 30 kind of controlled the whole game. And it's cliche to say it, but that really wasn't indicative to how that game went. Whitewater, yeah, in the fourth quarter they ran away with it, and they just controlled everything from there. But for three quarters, La Crosse was in the game and either in the lead or within one score. And a couple of the key moments that stood out to me, you see Whitewater take up half of the third quarter, basically, on their first drive to score and go up 10-7. So La Crosse gets the ball back down 10-7. They need to drive. They need to give the defense a break because they've been out there for so long. But then they go 3-and-out. So obviously that's not ideal. But then La Crosse catches a huge break. Whitewater fumbles the punt. Alexander Villarreal, junior safety, recovers the ball, gives La Crosse the ball at Whitewater's 40. So huge game flipping play, and I talked about it in the preview podcast earlier this week. Those are the type of plays La Crosse needed. They needed a couple of good breaks, a couple of balls bounced their way to kind of flip the tide of this game, because you line up over and over just talent versus talent against Whitewater. It's not going to work. You need a couple of those game-flipping plays. La Crosse gets one on that fumble punt, but then they throw three incomplete passes. They don't gain any yards, obviously, and not even in field goal range from there with Ryan Byrne, the freshman kicker, who can make it from the 50 to 52 range, but with the weather conditions, it was a really cold day. It was going to be tough to kick. So even a couple of yards would have probably made it a field goal try, but gaining no yards there and then having to punt the ball back, that's just a momentum killer, especially for an offense that didn't have a great first half. They were able to score late in the second quarter, and we'll get into that in a second. But they were able to score late in the second quarter, but other than that, the no drive was really sustained. I think they had 2 out of 15 third down conversion rate. So just a really, really tough day for the offense, and not able to capitalize on a big break like that, like a fumbled punt. It's just one of those plays that you look back and let's say lacrosse ties it up there or is able to take the lead with a touchdown. It really changes how Whitewater has to play the rest of the game. And who knows, maybe the defense gets another spark from that or another turnover is created. That's just one of those moments you look back on this game, and if lacrosse executes there, it's a whole different game for the rest of the second half. So that was obviously a key moment. And then another one, just an unfortunate break for the defense where they continue to hold Whitewater throughout the third quarter. So early in the fourth quarter, Whitewater runs a little bit of a play action, then throws a quick slant. The corner covering just slips, unfortunately. And when you play man-to-man defense like lacrosse does, one slip up is going to become a huge play, and it did. Whitewater's JT Parrish went 81 yards for a touchdown on it, and that was really kind of the backbreaker. Now lacrosse is down 17-7. The offense hasn't done anything in the second half, and they continued not to be able to do anything. It was just a moment where you look at this defense who had been playing so well, finally cracks, finally makes one big mistake, and then, bang, Whitewater's kind of off to the races and wasn't able to recover from there. Lacrosse wasn't. So you look at that game and 30-7, yeah, they tacked a couple on at the end, especially not to cry foul here, but they're up 23-7 with 2 minutes left. They get a first down at, I think, the 3-yard line. Lacrosse has already called all their timeouts. Mike Schmidt said after the game that they let them score in that situation just to try to get the offense a little bit of momentum ending the game. But to me, I think Whitewater could have just kneeled it out and run the clock out. But that's neither here nor there. but anyway, so you run up that score a little bit at the end there. But one of those moments where lacrosse's defense just couldn't recover from the fact that they played so well. They're not getting anything on the offensive side. They're playing so many plays. And then you let up one mistake, big touchdown, and it just kind of snowballed from there on the defense. Looking at the offense, I mean, like I've said a couple of times, just really no momentum, nothing got going for them in that second half. And a big part of it came from the fact that they cannot run the ball consistently right now. That's a big part of the column that is going to be up on lacrosse.tribune.com later this evening and in Monday's paper, but just their inability to run the ball in short yardage situations right now, especially in the second halves, the last two games we've seen it, they are setting themselves up where either everything's going to be a pass now or something has to change on the offensive line in production to ensure that they can get yardage. In one of these moments, it was 10, still 10-7. I think it was right before the slant, actually. Lacrosse has a 3rd-and-1, and they run a quarterback power, but there was immediate penetration given up, and Ben Shramsky gets tackled for a 2-yard loss. And this is late in the third quarter. That's one of those moments where, as an offensive line, you've got to have the ability and the pride to get 1 yard for your offense to get another fresh set of downs and keep the drive going. And I understand Whitewater's defense is incredible. We'll get into that in a second. But just not being able to gain a yard when you really need one is not only just a killer for an offense, but it's also been a consistent problem. So how that changes, I mean, looking ahead a little bit, obviously you can't get these offensive linemen that they have. They're starting 2 freshmen and a sophomore and then 2 experienced guys inside. But these inexperienced guys on the outside, you can't give them more experience magically. They just got to kind of rep these things out in games and kind of figure things out as they progress throughout their career. But as you move along with this group, eventually something's got to click, or if it doesn't click with these guys, just give somebody else a chance. Because right now the inability to produce in short yardage situations is just killing this offense. And perhaps there's a moment somewhere on the sideline where they just say, even though it's 3rd-and-short and running would be optimal, maybe we just put it in Ben Shramsky's hands and hope he finds a receiver. But it's just one of those things where this offense, if you can't rely on your offensive line to gain a yard, it's just, and a play calling and a coaching kind of throw your hands up. If we can't get a yard with this, I don't know what we're supposed to do. So obviously that's an issue. And then from the passing standpoint, the protection wasn't great. Ben Tramsky was running around quite a bit. But not only that, the way that Whitewater played defense, not only in their zone coverage, but especially when they decided to go man every once in a while and bring some pressure, they just kept everything in front of them. There was no opportunity for a big play. The longest play for UWL's offense the entire game was a 15-yard pass when it was already 30-7. It was down the sideline. It was 23-7 at that point. It was down the sideline, and they were playing cover two, and Ben Tramsky found Cole Speaker between the corner and the safety. But it was just a really impressive game by them to never let anything behind them. I know that's their scheme and all of that, but it was just a impressive performance to see them be able to pull that off in a game against an offense and a receiving core and a quarterback that's very talented. And Ben Tramsky said it after the game that, you know, clearly frustrated because the offense didn't perform well, but he said this offense has a lot more talent than 7 points. And he's right. So we'll have to see what type of adjustments they make. And we talked about the coaching changes and everything like that that happened last week. But we'll have to see what type of adjustments they make to continue improving as an offense. Because right now, they're really kind of leaving the defense hanging out to dry. Because on Saturday, that defense was up to the task and really gave the offense a lot of chances to take the lead or at least tie the game and keep the whole team in it. But they really just weren't able to perform. 1 second, grab water. Okay, so we mentioned how good the defense played, but one of the tough losses that they played, or one of the tough losses that they had, was Peter Kissling, senior captain, safety for them. The loss of him potentially for the season, like Mike Schmidt said, that's going to be a huge issue for this defense, because not only was Peter Kissling a great pass defender, keeping things in front of him at the safety position, and a really, really good tackler when receivers got in open space. But then, more importantly than that, I think, is his help in the run game. Because he has, the last 2 weeks, even the, 8 minutes of the game he played against Whitewater, he made a couple of great run stops to keep plays from getting past 3 to 5 yards and just make teams grind out drives, and that's really tough. So you look at a guy like Kissling, who is a huge leader for this team, it's a big blow. I talked to Eli McGeehan, a senior linebacker, after the game, and he said, you know, it's a tough thing, not only because of how productive he is, but he's just the team leader on the field. Like, he brings a lot of inspiration, he brings a lot of the momentum and the energy of the defense because of his leadership position. And to lose a guy like that, it's going to be tough. They're going to have to find the new guy on the field that does that for him, who brings that spark, who's able to kind of pick guys up when something happens. We'll see. We'll see who steps up, who emerges into that role. But obviously, losing a guy like Peter Kissling is a tough, tough loss. I didn't ask Mike Schmidt about this, but 4 games in the season and really 3 and a quarter games in, there's a potential that he might be able to medically redshirt if he wants to do that with all of his school and the things in that nature. But we'll investigate that later in the week. But just a really tough loss for him, especially a guy that has really given a ton to this program in the sense of helping the younger guys on this defense pick things up a little bit. And I mean, without a guy like Peter Kissling helping the other people around him, they're not in this game for 3 quarters defensively, especially when he goes down. Noah Schober stepped in really well for him at the safety position. And Eli Alt, the freshman, was able to rotate in as well. And really, it wasn't until the 4th quarter when things had kind of snowballed that the defense really seemed to lose anything without Kissling out there, which is just a testament to how well guys like Schober and Alt played. Jacob Gerzik, who got the start at the outside linebacker today, or on Saturday, had 13 tackles as well. Just a nice game from him. But just looking at Kissling, we'll see what they're able to do in the long term. You would assume a guy like Schober would step up in the starting role, but potentially they alter some things on defense. We'll see who gets on the field. But just a tough, tough loss for them, and a guy that's given a ton to the program as a whole. So we'll see what they do moving forward there. I think that's probably it for game recap, but I'll just give you a little preview of the week ahead here for our coverage. This week, probably have a podcast Wednesday or Thursday. Hopefully, get Eli McGeehan. I just mentioned him, but he's a senior linebacker, been playing really, really well for him. He's moving to inside linebacker now after starting on the outside. Doing a great job and has a really, really interesting story, and I'll let him tell when we get him on the podcast, but just a guy that's been through, or whose family has been through a lot overall in their lives, and just a really great kid to talk to. And as a reporter, when you have to talk to players after a tough loss like that, and you start establishing some guys that you know you can talk to and are going to give you good answers and be at least work withable after a tough loss like that. And Eli has definitely emerged as a guy like that for me as a senior and a leader on that defense. So look forward to that in the middle of the week. Obviously, game preview on Saturday and some other type of feature somewhere on the line. And then I'll be up in Menominee on Saturday for the game at Stout. And you want to talk about a momentum swinger, kind of a look ahead for the whole season. This is the turnaround point for lacrosse. You can lose a game to Whitewater, and if you're able to win out, you're still probably going to make the playoffs. But it's got to start now. It's got to start against Stout. This offense as a whole and this team as a whole has got to be able to play four good quarters, which they, in all honesty, haven't done yet. And they've got to be able to find the spark on both sides to finish these games off. Stout, not the best team. Obviously, there's a big talent discrepancy between them and Whitewater, but this is the type of game that lacrosse has to go up there and get things going from them on both sides of the ball. But just follow all of our coverage on lacrossetribune.com, and we will be back sometime in the middle of the week with another podcast and more stories and everything like that. You can follow me on Twitter at CBarDizzle for all updates. We'll continue to investigate the Luke Bengtson offensive coordinator situation, see what comes out of there. I've gotten a couple emails, a couple comments from readers and listeners about just what exactly happened. I do want to put out there that there's no criminal element. There's no police reports, court records, anything like that. This is not one of those situations that they're trying to cover up. It's just really sounds like an interpersonal, inter-office thing that the UWL staff decided to make some type of change, and we'll keep investigating that as the week goes along. But we do appreciate all the comments we've been getting, and walking into the stadium the other day, or on Saturday for the Whitewater game, talked to a couple of parents on the way in. Do appreciate you guys listening and sharing everything that I do. So continue doing that, and we will be back this week with another podcast and more UWL football coverage to come. So thanks again.